Venerable religious and dear parishioners, my mind has been very much recently on the topic of prayer, and I would like to speak about this today. We just had the major litanies, this great outpouring of prayer this past Wednesday, Feast of St. Mark. We call it the major litanies. And I'm already thinking ahead to the minor litanies, which will occur in mid-May. Also days of petition, days of prayer, days of asking. And I know I'll be on Mass circuit that day, the second Sunday of May, which will be Mother's Day. And that gospel will be about prayer. So I would like to give my sermon about prayer today. To help you develop your prayer life more, to help you better with your vocal prayer and also your mental prayer. And my dear brethren, I'll start off by saying prayer is everything. As well as you pray is as holy as you become. As well as you pray, that's how effectively you can resolve the problems and challenges of life. As well as you pray is going to determine whether you persevere to the end or not. So, in a sense, we couldn't be talking about a more important subject. One of the little stories I like about prayer is starts off with a boy trying to move a large boulder or a large rock in this large backyard that his family has, and he's straining and groaning, trying to push this rock to where he wants it to be. Maybe it'll work better with a scheme for where he's going to have his fort or whatever. He's getting very frustrated because he can't move it. And his efforts are going in vain. And his father happens to come out to the backyard and sees him trying to move this large rock. He sees him huffing and puffing and straining and sees his frustration. He says to his son, "Are you trying as hard as you can?" And the little boy, very exasperatedly, says, "Of course I am, Dad. Look how hard I'm trying." And his father says, "No, you're not. You haven't asked me to help you. Dad, can you please help me?" And they move the rock. You know, we're like that little boy. We keep trying and straining and making all these efforts on our own. We get very exasperated. We get very frustrated because we can't move the rock. We can't solve our problems. And we think we're doing all that we can, and yet we're not. Because we haven't prayed. We haven't asked for help. And prayer is so good for us, my dear brethren, that God will sometimes wait a very long time before he answers a specific petition we have, because he loves to see the spiritual growth that we make as we persevere. You see, that explains why we don't get everything we want. And it also explains why sometimes we have to wait a long time, because prayer is so good for us. It changes us. It doesn't change God. It changes us. And so we need to have more prayer in our lives, to have a certain minimum of vocal prayer. And with this, I would include morning and night prayers, daily rosary. These are the minimum vocal prayers that should be in our life. And when we have opportunity to pray more than that, to even go to Mass whenever we can during the week, that's how we get that help from our Heavenly Father, from Holy Mother Mary, and from the angels and saints. And if we can't always improve or increase the quantity of prayer that we do, at least we can improve the quality of prayer. We can always get better. There's no limit to how well our prayer can become. Although there is a limit, I suppose, that we could put on the quantity of prayer. After all, there's only 24 hours in the day, and we do have other duties. I want to share with you something we read from a meditation last night during our night prayers, and I think it's very good in explaining how we can observe our Lord's command that we ought, or rather, I think it's one of the epistle writers, we ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, how are we going to do that? How can we always pray? We know that can't happen. We're not able to pray. Well, first of all, we can't pray while we're sleeping. We pray by desire, but not actually when we're sleeping. And then we have so many other things to do that keep us from praying always. But there is a solution. There is an answer. I want to read it to you. If God is always with us, why can we not be always in continual contact with Him? This contact is realized by thought and love, but much more by the latter than by the former. In fact, it is impossible to be always thinking of God, partly because the mind becomes tired and partly because our many occupations demand all the application of our intellect, which cannot pay attention to two different things at the same time. You know, if you can think of two or three different things, focus on two or three different things at the same time, you are absolutely an amazing person. Now, I do know people can multitask, and I know women can do this better than men, but that's not focusing per se. It's simply having a general awareness of sometimes several things at once. But if we're really going to focus, you can really only have a single thought at a single time. You can't be two different things. It has to be one thing. So the mind can only do one thing at a time. The heart, on the other hand, can always love even when the mind is busy elsewhere, and it never grows weary of tending towards the object of its love. Since supernatural love does not consist in sentiment, but in an intimate orientation of the will towards God, we know that this turning is possible, even during the performance of duties which absorb all our attention. In other words, whenever you focus on something, it doesn't mean by that very fact that you've stopped loving God, or stopped loving your fellow man, stopped loving your neighbor, stopped loving your family. It means you stop thinking about them at that moment while you were doing something else, but your love didn't cease. So there's a key aspect of learning how to have a continual spirit of prayer, knowing that love doesn't cease by not being thought of. St. Thomas says that the heart can always send or tend towards God by the desire of charity, that is, by the desire to love Him, to serve Him, and to be united to Him in every action. Prayer is nothing but a desire of the heart, says St. Augustine. If your desire is continuous, your prayer is continuous. There's our answer right there. As long as you persevere in your good and holy desires, you are, in a sense, in a state of continual prayer. Let's finish this quote from St. Augustine. Do you wish never to cease praying? Then never cease desiring. Isn't that beautiful? So simple. Never cease desiring to do what is right. Never cease desiring to love God, to serve Him, and you will acquire a certain measure of continual prayer. Now we can fulfill, now we can understand how to fulfill the scriptural command to always pray, which means that when we maintain our holy desires, we are in a state of recollection. We easily think back on the things that matter the most in life. We're not wildly distracted or greatly pulled away. No, because we are living in a state of desire and therefore a state of prayer. My dear brethren, we pray primarily for the spiritual benefits, but there are many temporal benefits as well. And I don't mean just by that that God answers our prayer for temporal things like, dear God, help me to pay my bills. Dear God, please give me good health so I can perform my duties. Please, God, I'm looking for work. I need to find work. I'm not just talking about that. I shared something with the high school students this past week when we had a class, and a spiritual class on prayer, and I was quoting from, interestingly, an article I can make available to you. You'd have to pay for the copies, but it's titled 47 Health Benefits of Prayer. 47. And this isn't just speculation or from the writings of the saints. This is hard scientific evidence. This is scientific research. Every one of these has a reference where it was studied in a scientific way. And I'm just going to read just a few of these. The benefits that happen when we pray. Number one, you become more forgiving. Number two, you achieve goals more effectively. You live a longer life. Coping better with cancer. Protecting teens against drugs. Recovering from abusive relationships. Reducing financial strain. Reducing genetic risk for depression. Increasing happiness and satisfaction. Improving recovery from heart surgery. That's just the first 10. I'll read a few more. Improving outlook among those who are cancer patients, enhancing recovery from brain injury, protecting against stress, reducing impact of chronic pain, decreasing alcohol abuse, kids do better in school. Again, this is scientific evidence. These are all measurable effects. The more and the better a person prays, it shows up. And the physiological explanation is in another report. And I'm not a scientist. I'm not a neurologist. I don't understand all this, but I can tell you what the gist of it is. And I will quote here. As a general rule, prayer activates the more human and rational parts of the brain and deactivates the more primitive regions. This brings about a sense of comfort and reduces stress, anxiety, and other negative emotions. This can be studied by scientists. They can see what parts of the brain become more active, study somebody when he or she is praying. They can see from the brain waves the better harmony that is in the brain. And so, my dear brethren, this is not the main reason why we pray. The main reason is because we need to love God. It's just interesting to note how beneficial it is. I want you to know how your life will be better and in a sense easier if you simply work better and better at praying. And to be sure, prayer is a challenge. It's not easy. We have to battle distractions. It's a real sacrifice. We do sin if we willfully give in to distraction at prayer. So that's what prayer will have to be. It will sometimes have to be a battle. But God is pleased, and when he sees you persevering in that struggle to pray and to put out every distraction, he will bless you all the more. Even the saints were not exempt from the battle, the struggle. I'll close with this quick little story to show that shows how difficult it is for us to focus in prayer. And apparently this holy man told him, had this horse that he was going to give away, and he says, he's speaking to another man, says, I will give you this horse if you can pray an Our Father without a single distraction. Why, sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father who art in heaven. Does it come with a saddle? He instantly had a distraction. So yes, it will be a struggle for us, my dear brethren, but we ought always to pray and not to faint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.